Welcome to Beyond Transcripts, the podcast for educators who want to meet and exceed best practices in transcripts and education management. Welcome to today's episode of Beyond Transcripts. We're excited to be joined by Dr. Gallegos from Orion High School, whose mission is empowering learning, renewing hope. Today, we talk about what makes Orion unique as a high school. They really are trailblazers in a lot of ways and look at education pretty differently than not just traditional learning, but also a digital and online learning environment. We talk all about accreditation and why it's so important that a digital school is accredited. Did you know that a school that is accredited, those students can get financial aid much easier than coming from schools where there is no accreditation? We also talk about how the trend in education is students moving towards digital options, whether that's homeschoolers who now are needing a different learning environment, whether that's students at traditional schools who need credits or have to repeat what they've done in school. Having a strong digital program is critical not only for those 100% digital students, but to give options for students beyond your locale and even internationally. We also talk about the smooth transfer of records between schools and how, as a digital school, that is something you need to worry about. And Transcript Maker is part of what helps that happen. So we're excited to have Dr. Gallegos on today, and we hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome, Dr. Gallegos. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How's things going over there?
Really well, thank you. We're excited to have you on. So let's just start off with, share a bit with us about the history of your school, of Orion High School, because your mission of empowering learning and renewing hope is really inspiring. So tell us about your school.
Well, I'll kind of start from now. This is my 28th year as an educator. Most of those years in public education, except for the last 10 years. So about 11 years ago, some other teachers and I decided that we wanted to provide an opportunity that students may not have had. And our thinking at the time was that we wanted to provide opportunity for students who maybe were getting older, didn't finish high school, needed some sort of alternative for homeschooling. So we created a school and we opened it in 2008. And we literally created it from the ground up. And so where we came up with the term, the slogan, empowering learning, was that that's really about empowering students and parents to do, to take on education in a way that might be different for them. And then renewing hope was that literally was that we wanted to provide that hope for students who may not have seen another opportunity in the past.
Wow. That's great. And I think especially now there are so many options for education for students, which is great because school is something that is so traditional and fundamental. So the fact that you wanted to do things differently and build from the ground up is really great. So obviously you've been doing this for a decade and education has evolved quite a bit since then, especially in online learning and distance learning. So what do you feel like you're doing now that's maybe special and different from other schools in general, or even other digital and online schools?
I think the main thing that we have done differently from the beginning through now has been this notion that we thought then, and we still think now, that one-on-one learning is what empowers students to learn and what empowers us to do more than, quote, teach. Our job is, and we did an experiment by selecting some top-notch, excellent traditional school teachers, and we didn't train them to work and facilitate in an online school, but we hired them to do so just because we knew they were friends of ours. But the notion that you can be an excellent traditional classroom teacher and that those skills are going to transfer to digital learning is the wrong notion.
Right.
We said we call our teachers mentors, and there's a reason that we do that, is that they mentor students one on one, and mentoring for us, and the difference between us and that we believe anybody else who's come since then and after us has been that we are committed to that notion that mentor works one-on-one with the student and facilitates not just his learning of stuff, right, the stuff that we think is important, but we also see that a partner to that is that the mentor's secondary job is to help students become presenters of knowledge themselves. So when students meet with the teacher, with our mentor, the idea isn't that the teacher sits and lectures to the student and shows him stuff. The idea is that the student presents to the teacher something he's proud of, something that he did for homework, which we also call, we don't use the term homework on purpose. We use the term task because we think that in the adult working world, we don't have homework. We're tasked with things that have to be accomplished, right? Deliverables. We have to complete tasks that our boss, our supervisor, and we're given the parameters, but not the how-to. That's the job that we take on. So that meeting, we thought early on, was an opportunity for the mentor to help a student become a presenter of ideas. And that's the difference that we think has been the difference between us and anybody else who's come.
Yeah.
Particularly if you put a bunch of stuff on there for students to learn and they really never interact with an adult other than, okay, you know, you got an A on the assignment and okay, go on to the next assignment. That's not quite how we do. What we do is we say, here's the feedback on your task. Here's what you could have done better. Here's what you did really well this time. And so next time when you present, we want you to do A, B, and C and show that improvement that we call continuous improvement. So we think that's the biggest difference.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to go back to what you said about teachers who teach in a traditional classroom not necessarily being prepared for an online environment. And I think that's true regardless of the online teaching environment, but especially in a school like yours where you really do expect your teachers to be mentors and that there is a more unique way of teaching. I actually used to teach at a university, and going from sort of an on-site traditional teaching in a classroom was very different than an online environment. And as far as that spectrum goes, we weren't even as far as you are in terms of being, you know, interactive and that one-on-one learning. So that's really important, I think, for administrators to hear, is that you can't just take these great teachers who teach in a classroom and expect that they know what they're doing once you put them in an online environment, even if they understand the tech side. That's only one small piece of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I always use the example of, because so much of my background has been in public education. And I remember working in preparing a brand new high school. And I was going to be the principal of that. So we worked on that high school for a year prior. And what we did was we outfitted every classroom with all the great technology and all the stuff that we could envision that teachers would be doing in the classroom. But when reality hits is that we had all the bells and whistles, but nobody really knew how to use them or use them effectively. So then everybody sort of resorted back to the textbook and the lecture and the same old stuff for a lot of different reasons. And so, and it's the same thing can happen in a digital school. You can have all the collaborative tools that we call like Skype and back in the day when we used all of the, when Adobe was first coming out and we used all of that stuff. We thought the same thing. We thought, you know, it doesn't do any good to put all this really cool collaborative stuff in front of a mentor and expect that they know how to use it effectively other than just seeing somebody on the screen. So it's the same thing. If you do that, then you end up with the same old stuff. So we work really hard at training the mentors now in telling them, you know, you don't have to worry about teaching the stuff because we've created the stuff that we want students to learn and be able to do. We've even created the tasks that we want students to actually complete. So that takes that piece out of good teaching, is you don't have, your job isn't to teach, your job is to actually facilitate that learning and to help the students move from point A to point Z in your class.
Right. And I would imagine that great teachers, that's what they want to do anyway. They don't want to get stuck with all the other stuff. So that's fantastic that you help them do that. So given the fact that there is this trend of distance education at all grade levels, and I think especially at the high school level, it is becoming such a popular option. Why is it important that parents choose a school that is accredited. And I know that your school is. So can you talk to us a little bit about accreditation in general and Orion High School specifically?
Sure. Accreditation is often a sort of a misnomer that people don't really quite understand. Public schools are accredited just by the fact that they're public schools and they use tax money. So the state education agency in state A, B, C, or D, by virtue of being a public school, they're quota accredited. Now, accreditation is voluntary. So you can open a school and not go through accreditation. But the second piece of accreditation is that there are lots of accreditations out there. Now, there are not very many associations that are approved by the Department of Ed to be able to. The only reason that accreditation is important for high schools is that, I mean, other than the notion that there are these standards to meet and it's about continuous improvement, and we appreciate all of that. However, the only reason that recognized accreditation is important for high schools is that students who go to post-secondary institutions are able to qualify for financial aid because of that accreditation.
Oh, that's so important.
So it's important. Yeah, I mean, you can go from homeschool to university and still qualify in a lot of states for financial aid. However, if you go from a high school that's accredited up to university and you apply for financial aid, then there's sort of no questions asked about that. On the other hand, if you come from a non-accredited school, there are lots of impediments to Title IV funding, which is financial aid. So that's really the big thing. And for digital schools, of course, we used to be called virtual schools. We used to be called online high schools. And that's what we were when we opened. We were Orion Online High School. But when we went through accreditation, there was really no alternative. There were regional accreditations like Southern Association. You guys in California would have Western Association of Colleges and Schools. And yeah, so Northeast, yeah. There's Northeast and there's North Central. Well, around the time that we opened, an organization called Advance Ed sort of took over the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, and then later on merged the North Central and then the Northeast associations. So they don't have all of the regionals, but what digital schools are about is really that transcending that regional thing, because otherwise, why are you a digital school, right? If you're based in Texas, then, and you can't serve anybody outside of Texas, then why are you a digital school?
Right.
So they're important for a number of reasons. One is that they're recognized, and typically in the states, then, you know, Western will have accredited brick and mortar universities. Southern Association will have accredited brick and mortar colleges and universities in the South and Northwest and Northeast. So, however, at the time that we got accredited, we sought out Southern Association of Colleges and Schools. We didn't know that it was the sort of umbrella is Advance Ed, which is short for Advanced Education. That's the name of the private nonprofit that sort of took over these. And so when we went through, we had a visiting team come in and they were expecting to see students in front of the computers. They weren't. They didn't expect to see Dr. Gallegos here by himself at the office,
right,
and, you know, his teachers all in across the country. And
right, because your teachers aren't there either. No one's there. It's just you.
Which was ironic to me that they would send a team of 3 to 5 people to visit a school and sort of walk through the school and look through the, you know, make sure the exit signs were where they were supposed to be and you know, all of the safety stuff and the curriculum. And so around day two, we were like, okay, what do we do now? So, so bottom line was at that point, there weren't any what they call digital standards now. So we were sort of struggling. They were sort of struggling with how do we accredit you? Because, you know, it's not traditional, and we were expecting to see teachers. We were expecting to see ABC, and we didn't see it. So there were some of the things that came out and the discussions that came out through that exit meeting And they really didn't want to accredit us because they just weren't sure on how this would play out. So we had a lot of discussion and argumentation and, you know, gnashing of teeth and me trying to say, look, you know, in a we did let them see mentors working with learners and in these collaborative meetings. But even then, that was such a new thing that everybody thought, okay, we're going to go observe a classroom and we're going to see a teacher teaching and the students are learning. And so,
yeah, like, they were used to traditional.
Right. You're going to see back and forth between one student and one teacher. And this is what it's about. Here's the rubric. So, you know, go. So they just were really lost. And what came out of it was this sort of, okay, you know, we're going to accredit you, but, you know, you're going to have to sort of have a lot of communication around what you're doing, why you're doing it, and why it's effective. And then the next time that we come around for reaccreditation, then there's going to be what we call digital standards. So that's where we've kind of been, where we are now. There are digital standards that when we were reaccredited in 2014, and then we were reaccredited last year. But when we were reaccredited, they came through with the digital standards, and about 60% of those are those that we talked about at the time. Those have evolved, but it was a very interesting time for us, and we just attributed it to they're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole of accreditation, and it didn't work. But we were lucky to kind of be able to go through the process and to call ourselves an accredited school. So it's been an interesting 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. You were what we like to call trailblazers. Some people call them guinea pigs. You were trailblazers. We like that. So given that there has been this trend of students moving to digital schools, whether, as we said, that be from the homeschool or traditional schools, or maybe they remain in traditional schools and have some experience within the digital classroom, can you talk about why you think that's happening, this trend of shifting to digital education, and even what you see in the future?
Sure. I think the biggest shift, the initial shift that we saw and have seen is homeschooling parents taking their students so far into maybe middle school and then entering high school and then coming to a digital school that's accredited because of what we talked about, right, with getting into higher ed and, mm-hmm. and financial aid. The second piece has been that that while there have been a larger number of digital schools that are popping up, they're popping up as public charters or they're popping up as publics. So when you do that, you're still carrying the baggage of the public school with you, i.e. the testing, the traditional semester schedules, all of that comes with you. So what we're seeing is that the option for students who want to take like an advanced placement course and transfer that back to their school, or take a la carte courses that to advance so that they might have room on their schedule for something else at their traditional school. Or third, it might be students who failed a course or a couple of courses in their public school, and then they come and take those courses with us and we transfer them. So those are sort of the three. Our bread and butter is what we call our full-time student. The full-time student gets what we call they get the treatment, right? We mm-hmm. we manage their records. They have a dedicated advisor that works with them and works with them on their schedule, what they take, when they take it, all of that, and kind of holds their hand all the way through graduation. Then we have, so those are our full-time students. And those are the students that come from, we have students in South Africa, South America, wow. All over the U.S., Romania. So we have them everywhere. And then the second piece has been this that's been building up of why are they coming? And they're coming for those reasons that I talked about. But I also have to say that students come to digital schools with a lot of assumptions about digital learning. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they find out that their assumptions aren't correct and they struggle a lot. And sometimes they find that their assumptions are right on. And so they do really, really well. So we,
I want to interrupt. What assumptions do you find that students are making about their digital education experience?
They assume that it's easier.
That was my assumption about what you were talking about, because that was our experience as well. They think it's easy.
They think it's easy. They think that they can go into a classroom, submit a bunch of stuff, get their grade, and then they're done, right? They want to go play.
Yep. They think they can kind of hide and someone's not going to notice them. They do it on their own time. It's flexible and it's easier than going into a classroom. And it's often harder.
It's hard. And the other piece is that they think that because it's a digital school, a lot of the times the other assumption is, I can go to the internet and get a bunch of garbage and then, and then paste it onto my paper and nobody knows the difference. So what we did was we knew that, it doesn't make them bad students. It just makes them testing the digital school, on how we're going to interact with them. Our biggest thing is that the assumption that you can come into a digital school and sort of like I compare it to a lot of times in the traditional school, they'll put students in front of these automated software things if they failed a class, and the kids go through and they take these multiple choice tests and they know how to play the system, right? Mm-hmm. So they go through them and get them wrong, but they finally get them right, and then they get to keep going. So in a couple of days they're done, like, oh, I'm done, it's a 75, but I'll take it. So what we tell them is, look, the rule, two important rules are, first rule is you have to interact with your mentor. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Mm-hmm. And that's one time a week over the 2 months. There's no shortcuts. It's 8 meetings. It's not 2 meetings crammed into all of this stuff. And the second thing is we don't do any of that multiple choice testing because of that. All of it is interactive. You have to produce a task that we ask you to produce and then submit those one-on-one just like you would homework. So we've tried to kind of curb that assumption to say that there is no way, if you don't meet with the teacher, that you can pass the class. There's absolutely no mathematical way. And we've made it possible like that. If we say, if you get 100 on every assignment and you just submit everything, you never meet with the teacher, then you'll pass the class with a 70. However, if you, that's first time you get a 99, then there's no way to pass the class, right? Because you're going to get an F. So we created this, what we call the digital schools, survey for our school. And when somebody thinks they want to come, we ask them to take this survey. It's not necessarily a screener, but we have had some that we've said, look, this may not be the right place for you, so maybe you should go somewhere else. Based on your results, we go through the results with them, and what the survey really kind of asks them is that: what are your assumptions about digital learning? Yeah. What are your skills with collaborative video conferencing? What are your skills with keyboarding? What are your skills with mathematics? Reading on your own, and then do you ask somebody for help if you need help, or do you just kind of go off on your own? So we ask them those questions. And we have actually screened a couple of people out just because we don't think that it would be for them.
Right. So it sounds like a couple best practices are, as you said, doing a screening, making sure you understand who the student is before they come to the school, as well as clearing out some of those wrong assumptions about what the program is, giving those two rules, like you said. For the administrators listening, any other top tips you can just quickly go into?
I would just really, when I talk to administrators, I find that a good deal of administrators have similar assumptions about digital learning. And I might have had the same before starting my school. And so the assumption sometimes is that it's easier. So, if you go there and we support you, then you're going to get an A, or so I think that's kind of the assumption. The second piece is that, that sometimes, so I would tell the administrator that every teacher that we have, that we call a mentor, is an expert in his or her field content wise. They're certified. But we go beyond that. For example, if we have, we have pharmacy technician courses that are part of our elective schema, but it's a pharmacist who mentors the course. It's not a certified teacher, who knows the content. Same thing in engineering. We have an engineer who works with the student, so it's not, you know, somebody who's certified in robotics. So when I would tell administrators that one of the great ways to use a digital school like ours is as an addendum to your course catalog, particularly small schools. So you have small schools that can't do the stuff that we do because not because we're a large school, but because we're able to expand our repertoire of things that we can put out there content wise. And a lot of small schools scam. So we did a study with some small schools that are not able to offer advanced placement courses. They might be able to offer like AP English Lit, but when it comes to Calc, they're not able to do that. So we tell them, use us for these things.
Right. That's great that you can really be sort of that school that students can come to if they need something a little different than their traditional experience that other schools can turn to. So that's fantastic. Now, obviously, you are a digital school, and this is the Beyond Transcripts podcast. So let's just wrap up today with talking a bit about how Transcript Maker has helped you succeed since you've been with them for a very long time, since the beginning, essentially, of your school. Is that right?
That's right. We've known Matt for quite a while.
Yeah.
So I think one of the benefits of my background was that if you have a school, no matter what type, you have to have records that that lend themselves credibility when you send them somewhere else. That's one piece. The second piece is that an assumption of those of us who start schools that we try to stay away from is that that transcript has to have the record of where the student came from as well as what the student did with you. So early on when we were trying to figure out, do we use a spreadsheet? How do we do this thing? And we tried all sorts of stuff. And then I found Matt and his homeschool transcript at the time. And I thought, I want to try this out and see how we can do this. So we tried Transcript Maker out, TScript it was at the time. And so we took historical records, and we were requesting them from schools, old school, right? We would do this fax, and we'd fax them to schools.
Oh my goodness.
And we'd fax the transcript request, they'd fax it back to us, and then we would just input them into Transcript Maker. So over time, and it's worked out great for us. So students graduate and we're able to get those out over to the colleges and universities, and very professional transcripts with GPA. So that's the big thing, right? You're sitting here going, okay, I have AP courses and I want to weight them. I have honors courses. I want to figure this stuff out. I don't want to sit here and calculate GPA every time. I don't want to sit here. I want to have a set of cataloged courses that I can pull down. And when I enter a transcript, I can do it as, you know, there's the course code and enter the grade and we're done. And Transcript Maker for us has worked because we are literally twice a month entering records. When students, we have the last day of every month is the is records day, because students finish courses on the last day of every month. Then the 27th day of every month is another records day, because students who have an extension in their class into the third month. So we're doing transcripts 27th, 31st, 27th, 31st of every month. So we needed something that was going to work for us. So we have used Transcript Maker for the time that we've been open. And so we have, and Matt has really worked with us in a couple of things. I think we're also the first digital school in Texas to use the same records system that the public schools use. So it's called the Texas Records Exchange. And this is another thing that I would tell administrators, particularly in Texas, is that when a transcript is created on our end, whether the student takes one course or not, we're able to electronically transfer that through the Texas Records Exchange because of how Matt has sort of worked with us in being able to do that. So we are the only digital school, the only private school in Texas that does that, that is able to transfer records back and forth, not just to the public schools, but to colleges and universities in Texas and across the country through that records exchange. So he's worked with us in, and over the years, I've kind of come to him and said, hey, is it possible to do this? And he'll kind of go back and do it and come back to us and say, you know, we did it. This has been the latest thing was getting on the Texas Records Exchange. And I approached Matt and said, I think this would be beneficial for us. And I would hope it'd be beneficial for you if you do this and we can kind of do this together. And he did over about 2 months worked with the state and getting it done. And we have, that's been a huge time saver for us in that. And that, but not only does it, is it a time saver, but it lends that credibility back to saying that, hey, this school and students, when students take courses at this school, that school transfers it directly to our registrar through the Texas Records Exchange. There's no question about the course codes. There's no question about there's never anything about that anymore. And we used to have that all the time. It's like, oh, okay, are you even accredited? Or, you know, or
hey, now there are no questions. You look credible. The information is efficient. Yes. It looks good. So that's awesome. Yep. Well, as we said, you are a trailblazer. You moved forward in digital education. You got your transcripts right along with you. So thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Beyond Transcripts. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Dr. Gallegos all about Orion High School, what makes his school unique, and how you can also be a trailblazer when it comes to distance education. For more information on Orion High School, click the link below. And don't forget to check out our 14-day free trial of TranscriptMaker and join the newsletter to learn about all things transcripts and beyond.